This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And good morning, good morning. Welcome, welcome to both Pet Life Radio and Instagram Live. You're here live with Dr. Jeff. Here for the next 30 minutes on Pet Life Radio and Ask the Vet with Dr. Jeff on Instagram. And just here for your pets. Anything you want to talk about, now is the time. You might notice, I never, for all my dogs, I have never had a dog that had this fear of fireworks. It's the craziest thing. I don't know. Is it luck? So what can I give my, Malchie mix 10-pound dog to the fireworks? He's 13 years old. So since the question is asked, we're here. I was going to talk about it anyway. So let's talk about what can we do for our pets? So there are a number of things that we're going to talk about on the show. And basically, the quick answer is you want to separate them if you can. Put them in a private, quiet room. Not quiet, but no doors, no windows. Okay. And what we're going to do is we're going to like either stereo, loud music to drown out the fireworks. Interestingly, dogs like classical music, something I'm not a big fan of. Dogs seem to do well with classical music. And then also, or a TV, and put on something that usually, you know, how dogs get when they're something like my Frenchies, when they see anything that's not human. It could be a caricature, it could be a cartoon character, it could be another animal, you name it, they go nuts. So that would be a perfect thing to show. Also, there's dog TV. Dog TV is great because it's programming specifically for your dogs. And it gets them so like intrigued and they're so become part of it that it works really, really well. So these are the things you can do on a short term. Now, if you have a dog that is really wild, what I'd recommend is not keeping your dogs outside because they will typically try to get away. They will run, they will do their best. So regardless, I mean, this is good advice anytime, but make sure they have an ID tag, make sure they have a collar, make sure they're microchipped just in case they get away. Now, if you have a dog that you know is a good escape artist, then you don't want to put them in the yard because they will get out. Those that get freaked. So, you know, another here, Vicky and Eloise, again, keep the air conditioner on, of course. Windows closed, windows and doors closed. Obviously, you don't want any of that noise coming in from the outside. And also maybe before it gets dark and the fireworks really get crazy, take them for a really long walk. Get their energy out. Let them get to the point where they, when they get home, all they want to do is conk out and sleep. So that would be, you know, a wise thing to think about as well. Now, what about medications? There's a long list of things that we can do medication-wise. Look, I like to start with the more natural things. There, like when you think about valerian, passion flower, chamomile, melatonin, L-tryptophan, CBD. There are so many things out there, so many supplements. I hate to call them medications. They're really not. That they're natural and they have a really nice calming effect. I have my chill formula. There's something called Calms. There are really good things out there. So look for the ingredients. And again, you only have a few days, 4 days. So if you want to try these, try them now. That would be a good thing to do. But, you know, again, you want to know what they're like. So the other thing that would be really good would be to talk to your veterinarian. If you have dogs that are not responding, okay, then one of the things that you can do is talk to your veterinarian about really, now we'll talk about medications, drugs. Now, one of the simplest things you can try, and I find it very effective, is Benadryl, diphenhydramine. Why? It's an antihistamine. This has nothing to do with allergy, but these are the drowsy antihistamines. This and chlorpheniramine, unlike the Zyrtec and the Claritin that advertise, we're not going to make you drowsy. Here's one where you want them to be drowsy. So that would be a recommendation. Second thing you can do would be, again, speak to your veterinarian. There's trazodone, there's Xanax, there is sedatives like acepromazine. So there are drugs that you can give a dog. Gabapentin, it's used for pain, but it also seems to have a nice sedative effect. I would do that as well. Anyway, so these are the things. Someone wrote something about crickets. Woman buys crickets and lets her indoor cats chase them around her bathroom. My indoor cat would love this. You know, this has nothing to do with 4th of July, but I have not seen it or heard it. Cats, as we know, will eat insects. They love to chase things. They are intrigued. They see even a bird flying around outside. We have one of those feeders outside for the hummingbirds. And oh my God, my cat, they're just posted at that window watching the hummingbirds. So these are things that I would try it. It's intriguing. you could do it and get back to us and let us know if it works. And maybe that's something we can have, we could talk about in another, at another time in another show. But yeah, the chill is great. I love the chill. All right. How old and what breed dog is the longest breed dog you have treated? That's a good question. We did have, it was a small breed. It was some sort of Chihuahua something cross that made it to 20. That was my oldest. I had a cat patient, two of them actually, that made it to 22. So that's pretty good. Hello all. If you have questions about anything, now's the time to ask. And then we're going to go back to our fourth. So anyway, so now we have the sedative. Now, I want to give you something. We've talked about this before. It's too late to do it now. And that is that, what do you do to really desensitize them, the dogs, to these fireworks? Like I said, I've never had a dog that had this problem. So one of the things that, Benadryl doses is 1 mg per pound, roughly. So for example, 10 milligrams. Now, if you took a 25 milligram over the counter and cut it in half to 12.5, that would be okay. But it's roughly 1 mg per pound. So what we want to think about doing is desensitize them. How do we do it? So what you do is you go online and you download some sort of noise tape. You can download it onto your computer. You can do fireworks. You can do thunderstorms. You can do loud trucks working, you know, backing up, anything that freaks these dogs out. And you start playing it extremely, extremely low. So low that you probably won't hear it, but it's just sort of at the very, 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 you know, lowest, lowest volume. And what you do is, as they're listening to it, you call them over to you for a treat. Good boy, good girl, give them a treat. And what you do is you do a couple of training sessions a week, each time a little bit louder, a little bit louder. It's going to get to the point where as soon as they hear the sound, they're going to come to you, not for fear, but for the treat. And then you get to the point where they truly are going to associate these loud noises as they get louder and louder with the treat. And it's going to take something that's been a negative and fear provoking, and it's going to make it fun. They're going to come running to you. They're going to make a different association. So it's actually called desensitizing and counter conditioning. We're going to get them to like it. Now, as opposed to what we typically do, what do most people do during the fireworks? And their dog, it starts cowering and comes, you feel so badly for them. So what do? You call them over to you and you give them a hug and you let them sit up on your lap. Whoa, you just reinforced that fear behavior. So it's like, whoa, what are you doing? You don't want to do that. I mean, look, you don't want to ignore them, but you want to just put them in that safe room, give them someplace where they just won't hear the sound. But if you coddle them, which we are so apt to do, then we are reinforcing the fear behavior as opposed to reinforcing a good behavior that we want. So we want to take that negative and turn it into a positive. Okay, something new in dog's eyes detected. Vet changed one eye medication to dexasone, neopolydroxin. And I said some itis were, so that could be a lot of them. We have a conjunctivitis. And here's the thing. If you have a mild irritation, infection, ocular discharge, go to your veterinarian for what's called an eye stain. If the eyes are just red, if the sclera are red, that's the white part of the eye, very injected, has a lot of blood vessels, the dog is squinting, you want to make sure we don't have an ulcer. And so what we do is we stain the eye. If the stain is negative, then we just we're looking at a conjunctivitis or a blepharitis. So in that case, the itis is inflammatory without corneal effect. Therefore, you can use something with steroids and it is encouraged, recommended. We use like a triple antibiotic, that's the neopoly, with dexamethasone. So that is something we commonly do. Now, the reason why, even on telemedicine, when I get a dog with these symptoms, and I can actually see it on the video, I will not prescribe anything with steroid until the eye is seen and until we know that everything is okay. So because we want to make sure if you're going to use steroid, you cannot have any corneal problem. So that's the most important thing, is to make sure that their stain is negative, and then you can go ahead and treat the itis, which is the inflammation only. Intervertebral disc disease in dogs. Okay, so there is there's no clear-cut fix. The best you can do to reduce the incidence is keep your dog lean, well-exercised, but not over-exercised. And when we see these dogs, typically, for example, your typical dachshund, dachshunds have notorious disc disease. French bulldogs, notorious disc disease. Theirs is more developmental and anatomic. With the doxy, it's just that they have this very long back. And then you go ahead and you make them heavy, which is they are unfortunately on the top 10 list of dogs, obese dogs in the United States. So we are predisposing them to actually disc disease via their being overweight. So it's really, really important if we do our best to not have them overweight. So keep them lean, keep them in good shape, and that's it. Now, when you have one such dog that you know has a tendency, what you can do is try to minimize the episodes by not letting them go crazy, not letting them do the zoomies, not letting them jump on or off furniture, or skip down, going down stairs, skip four stairs at a time. These are the things that they can actually put a strain on the back. So there are ways, there's no way to actually prevent it completely. There's no surgery that is going to stop it from happening. And dogs that have had disc surgery just know they are also predisposed to more discs, because if they have that problem, then they can blow discs again. So it's very, very important to keep that in mind. Many people don't ever want their dog to bark. I've always believed barking is important. What are your signs? Okay. No, look, barking is a natural communication that dogs do for many, many reasons. They do it when they're happy, they're excited, they bark. They do it when they're fearful. They do it when they're ready to attack. When you come home, that's excitement barking. And they hear a noise outside, that's protection barking. This is the way they talk. It's a vocalization. If you want a dog that never barks, but maybe squeals, you know, there are some out there. Basenjis are the barkless dogs. And when they make a sound, it's kind of more like a, it's kind of a weird sound. But you don't want to train a dog not to bark. You got to be very careful with bark collars. They have to be used by a professional. I don't recommend any kind of shock box barking collar to anybody without using the help of a professional, because there are some dogs that get worse behavior issues from being these shocks they get all the time when they're doing something natural. Here you go. Can you imagine when you're someone's trying to protect you and then you punish them? I mean, come on. That's insane. Dogs, that's one of the ways they communicate. Now, if it's barking and it just seems unnecessary because they're in the backyard and they're hearing noises on the street all day long, and your neighbors or they're in an apartment and they miss you, so it's part of separation anxiety, and you're getting notes on your door that your dog is barking too much, and then the landlord's going to get involved, then you need to seek the help of a professional. There are some ways, there are some non-shocking bark collars, and there are those that work on a high-pitched noise in response to a bark. There are those that work with the citronella collar, spraying citronella in their face. Those seem to work. There are loud sounds that go off in response to a dog barking. For example, that's better for when they're in the house and you're getting complaints. When they're outside during the day, that's what dogs do. You know, it doesn't bother me. I have neighbors that complained a little bit, but they don't complain so much anymore. How often clean your dog's ears? So that one really depends on the dog. I would say check the ears at first on maybe every week to every other week. When you're cleaning them and you get nothing out, then go 3 weeks. When you're cleaning after 3 weeks, you get nothing out, go 4 weeks. Until you get to the point where you see you're starting to build up some dirt and debris and wax, and then it's time to clean them. So it might be once a month. Now, some dogs are prone to infections, and these are often secondary to allergies. So when you have a dog that has an allergic otitis and they get secondary infection because of the otitis, usually more often than not, it's going to be a yeast, a Malassezia infection over a bacterial infection. But it seems like in a healthy ear, there's a balance between yeast and bacteria, and they keep each other in check. So when that balance is disrupted, then you're going to get an infection. So keep that in mind. Anyway, time for our break here on Pet Life Radio. So we're going to mute myself here for until Mark gives me a thumbs up. And don't go away. We'll be back after these short messages from our sponsors here at Pet Life Radio. Take it away, Mark.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
So we're back live here on Pet Life Radio. We're talking about back the 4th of July. One piece I left out is the barbecue. And we're going to have barbecues. We should all have barbecues. It's good. So Make sure the dogs stay away from the hot grill. Make sure they stay away from fatty foods. Make sure they stay away from too much anything. No raisins, no grapes, no raw onions. If you have some raw onions sliced up, put on your hamburgers, none of that. No garlic. And most importantly, and I don't have it here, be careful of corn. That corn on the cob, the dogs, first of all, love it. I don't know why they like it so much, but they really like it. And that you, when you take that cob, you've eaten all the corn off, and you throw it in the garbage, that is a tremendous hazard for your dogs. That cob is the perfect size to go down the esophagus. It might even, it usually gets through the stomach. And now it's somewhere in the intestine. As it's coursing through, it's going to hit a point that it is too big and it comes to a dead stop. Now, the intestine, when it feels it in there, it starts going through its peristaltic waves. These are circular contractions and longitudinal contractions, trying to push things out, push them forward. Well, it can't. So now that the circular contractions are so tight on that cob, it's cutting off the blood supply. It is just a disaster. Really, I mean, don't even test it. When you're going to finish that corn cob, throw it in the garbage. Keep the garbage out of your dog's reach, and you should have everything sealed or covered anyway, because it is really a challenge. It's, you do not want it to happen. Trust me, that will be the most expensive corn cob you ever, or piece of corn you ever bought. So don't be really careful. Okay, this is a great question. This is from Julian in Beverly Hills. Best way to administer liquid medicine in a cat's mouth by cat gags. Okay, so what we do, everybody makes this mistake, by the way. When you give a pill, what do? We open the mouth, drop the pill in the back of the throat, the back of the base of the tongue, and give it a little push. We do not do liquid medications that way. When we do liquid medications, the whole idea is to pull the cheek away on either side and gently drop the liquid in the corner of the mouth. The head can be tilted back just a little. When they feel that liquid going in, they will swallow. Now, some cats, if it's really bitter tasting, they won't like it. And they might even try to spit it out. They'll foam at the mouth. For example, some flagyl, metronidazole, very bitter tasting. So if you need to, you might want to get the medication compounded using like a really good base, like a chicken flavor, a shrimp flavor, fish flavor. So that's what you want to do. That is very important. But don't try to pop it down the throat, because they'll usually inhale it and they'll gag. And they gag just because cats are very, they know what they like, they know what they don't like. So if they taste something they don't like, they're going to start spitting it out. They're going to foam at the mouth. So then you know it may not be, if you did it in the corner and they're still doing it, you need to change the taste of the medication. Once the patella is fixed, and you know, again, the answer is yes. It depends what technique they use to fix the patella. Patella is the kneecap that falls out of the groove, more common in small breed dogs. We call it medial patella luxation. So this is something that it needs to be surgically fixed often. There are four grades, 1, 2, 3, 4. Grade one, leave it alone. Grade two, depends on the dog and how often they're hopping up the leg and not using it. Grade three is usually fixable. Grade four, definitely need to fix. Now, depending on what technique they use, if they just did a lateral suture and or if they did a deepening of the groove and replacing and then tightening the joint capsule, that may not be enough. Sometimes you need a tibial crest transposition. And that is going to be moving the distal patella tendon to be right in the perfect position, right under the patellar groove. I mean, yeah, the patellar or femoral groove. So if you don't realign, then it could happen again. So it's much more challenging and difficult procedure. It's more extensive. You're doing it involves some bone cutting and putting some tension bands in there, but it is a way to go if you have certainly a grade three or four, and you have a medial positioning of the tibial crest that needs to be fixed as well. Now, how do you get the glands expressed? My dog had an infection due to a groomer not doing it. Okay, now here's the thing: anal glands vary so much. Depends on the dog. Some dogs need it very commonly. Some dogs hardly ever need it, because every time they defecate, they actually squirt out the glands. So it really depends on the individual dog. Now, how to express the glands is really what keeps the problem going here in many dogs, and why the groomer had a problem. So the way most people do it themselves at home, most groomers express the glands by squeezing the glands against each other and get them to release. It is still can be very effective. I can do it that way too. And it works very well. When you have these refractory glands or glands you really can't feel, then you have to do the digital technique. This is the technique that none of you will ever want to do. And even groomers don't do it or don't want to do it or don't feel they can do it well. And that means the glove goes on. Hopefully, of course, you put a glove on. You have to go up the rectum and you now you're going your fingers on, you're doing each gland separately. You do first the right side and then you turn and do the left side. And that is a much more effective way to empty out the glands. If you don't do that and the glands aren't emptied out, then you run the risk of ultimately getting a glandular, an anal gland abscess or an infection. And that requires more care. So not impossible, but it requires care. Is citronella? No, it is not bad. I mean, the dogs may not like it, but that's the key. It's not dangerous. But when that citronella goes up, it hits all five senses. First of all, the touch. They feel it on their chin. Secondly, the smell. All right, go up the nose. They smell it. They don't like it. Thirdly, the taste. Okay. Then they also hear it swoosh. Okay. So you hear it and then they see it and flash in front of their face. So you see, hearing, feeling, touching, taste, all of them, all five. I hope I got all five there. So anyway, that's what makes it so effective. And dogs just don't like it. The fact they don't like it in the nose, that's what you want. So hopefully they'll stop barking because every time they bark, they're going to get the citronella. What's the best dry food for skin allergies? Currently on a grain-free salmon. Okay. Now, I'm not, and we talked about this, I'm not a big fan of grain-free necessarily. I don't think we need grain-free, but whatever food seems to prevent the scratching. Now, when you're mixing and drying, testing all your foods, you have to know one thing, that it can take weeks, usually 6 weeks to see a difference. So don't switch to a new food and then not see a change within 2 weeks. Ah, well, that's not working. No, you got to feed it. And only that, I recommend novel protein diets, which is usually something new they've ever seen before. Rabbit, venison, bison, duck, lamb, whatever it is, kangaroo, and also single antigen. So that means only one antigen at a time. So it's new and only one. You can't mix three or four different ingredients. So it's usually one protein and one either grain or vegetable. Take your pick, something that the body has probably never been exposed to before. And that's what you do for 6 weeks. And if you see an improvement, then you know you're dealing with something food. If the problem is not seasonal, it's all year round. More likely than not, that means food or something in the house. Seasonal allergies, it's outside, it's pollens, it's things that change all the time. So at least it gives you some clues. There are also basically in the dog some clues as to where on the body we're seeing a problem. And that could be also helpful. Lower back at the rump, you're probably dealing with fleas. In the groin, on the belly, you're probably dealing with pollen allergies. If it's along the back, it might be something around the house, something they're lying on. If it's around face, ears, feet, chewing, attacking feet, think food. But there's a lot of overlap, but this will give you some place to start. Okay, so I got to go. I got to be on time because I'm on the set in about 10 minutes. So have a great, safe 4th of July. If you have any questions, reach out to me. Thanks for joining me here. Hope you got most of this. I heard we were having some internet problems, connection problems. And otherwise, if you have anything during the week and you don't want to wait, you know how to get a hold of me. You can just reach me on Instagram. Hopefully you're all following me. Carrots, middle of the day snack. Yeah, yes, that's good. Fruit, dogs like melon. They can do strawberries. Obviously, stay away from grapes. And a lot of fruits are good. Just some of the fibers. I mean, my dog loves, cut up apple without the skin. Cut up the skin away. Apple is great. It's crunchy. It's sweet. They love that too. All right. Have a good week, everybody. Safe 4th of July. We'll see you here next week. Same bad time, same bad channel here on Pet Life Radio and on Instagram Live. Anyway, have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.